kingdom. Amen. We're still looking at the kingdom. Still looking at the kingdom. Amen. And while I have this on my mind, turn to Matthew chapter 16. Have you started? Amen. Matthew chapter 16. Okay, I'll hold that off. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 through 26. Amen. We're looking at the kingdom. We're still looking at the kingdom. Because Jesus told his disciples, and he tells us through the word of God, that they were sent out to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Amen. The gospel of the kingdom. We need to know what the kingdom is in its totality. Amen. Not just one aspect, but we need to know God's kingdom in its totality, because he says it has been given unto those who are the disciples to know the mysteries of the kingdom, to unlock what the kingdom actually is. And so when we're looking at this, we need to see that the kingdom will unlock everything that we need to know, because I don't think that it's any believer. I don't think that it ought to be any believer that faces life. Amen. And we should not know what's going on in a certain aspect. We may not know everything that's going on, but we should never be put into a place where we feel like everything is happening around us. Everything is happening in the world, and I have no clue what is going on, because God says it is given to us to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Amen. And so we're going to be looking today at the main principle of the kingdom, the main principle, the key core thing. We've taken the last, I think, 3 weeks to kind of look at different aspects and different parts of the kingdom. Now we're going to start putting it together, to put all the pieces together, so that we can see that everything in the word of God, everything in the word of God from Genesis all the way to Revelation is actually different elements of the kingdom that God was now bringing little bits and pieces of the puzzle together. And now he's putting it together by way of the church. Amen. We have it. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. Amen. You have it. Amen. If you don't, it's on the screen. Amen. Let us look at this. And it says, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Amen. So he says, and we understand that, for what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What can you give to buy for your own soul? And so when we look at this, we got to understand the context. We got to understand the context. We know what Jesus said. We understand that Jesus said that I've got to lay down my cross and follow him. If I'm going to follow him and be a follower of the Lord, then I have to be able to take up my cross. And he says, I've got to be able to lose my life for his sake. And so here's the context. Here's the whole context of what brought about that conversation right there. What brought about that conversation? Jesus had begun earlier on in chapter 16. Jesus had begun to speak to the disciples about him going to be crucified, going to be mistreated by the Pharisees, going to really lay down his life. Because remember, he said, no man takes my life. He said, I'm not a victim. I don't care what it may look like. I don't care what happens in the upcoming months or weeks. I want you to understand that I am not a victim. He says, I want you to understand that this is of my own choosing. So now he began to instruct his disciples and tell them, hey, I'm about to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be mistreated. They're gonna treat me badly. They're gonna say a whole bunch of stuff against me falsely, and I'm gonna be crucified. And so what happened was Peter began to rebuke Jesus. He says, no, no, Lord, this will never happen to you. Why? Because they had their own concept of what the kingdom was about. They were under the impression that Jesus was coming to make physical Jerusalem and physical Israel the head of the nations, and now everything was now going to be all right, and everybody was going to be, everybody who was an enemy was now going to be not eliminated physically, but they were now going to lose their power, and now Israel's going to be the head of the nations, and God was going to set up his physical kingdom at this time. So then, with that mindset of having a political earthly kingdom, they couldn't understand when Jesus was about to say, when Jesus said, now I'm about to die. Hold on. That makes no sense there. That if you're going to be the king of the kingdom, how can the king of the kingdom say, I'm going to die before the kingdom even gets here? That was basically the context. So when Peter was saying, no, this won't happen. And so then Jesus had to rebuke him. You know, he had to then, tell him, you need to understand that thought pattern that you have is not really coming from God, but you need to understand that thought that's in your head is really coming from, or it is the ideology and the mindset that Satan has. Remember when Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. He was talking to Peter, but he was really talking about the mindset that had come from Satan. Because Satan only wants you to have things in the physical sense. He doesn't want you to really have spiritual power. He doesn't mind you having physical and earthly authority. He just don't want you to have spiritual authority through Jesus. He don't mind if you have money. He don't mind if you have prestige or charisma or whatever. As long as you don't have Jesus and his power operating in your life, he is fine. Hello. And so Jesus had to tell Satan, which was operating through the mindset of Peter, said, get thee behind me, because you savor or think about and you only desire the things of men and not the things of God. So Peter and the disciples weren't even thinking according to the kingdom of heaven, but they were thinking only in terms of the kingdom of men, meaning what is going to benefit mankind. What does mankind value as being important? And that's really the same thing that Overseer was preaching on Friday night, talking about what is success. He was really referring to, hey, the mindset of mankind is success is these physical things. It's not to say that we don't need them or we shouldn't appreciate certain things and certain elements of this life, but we should understand what place and priority that they have. And so Jesus was saying, hey, I need to put things in proper order and proper perspective. So then here's the world's order. Here's the world's order. Look, the world's order is really against God's order. They're not the same. They will never be the same. Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul had to tell us at another time, he said that the spirit and the flesh, they're really working against each other. The flesh loves the things of this world's order, and the spirit of the believer loves the things of God's order. They're contrary. They are against each other. They are bitter enemies. They will fight every time. And so Jesus had to say, look at what he said in verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his who? He was talking to a specific group of people. It was a whole lot of folks that came out to hear Jesus talk, and probably said he preached a good sermon and then he made a good meal. Hello. Because he recognized Jesus wasn't no fool. He understood. He said, I know you all just coming to me for the fishes and the loaves and the potluck dinners that I'm handing out at the end of my service. He said, I know y'all couldn't care. Some of you all couldn't care any less about what I'm talking about as long as I'm feeding you. Right? So Jesus wasn't now talking to all of the people. He was talking to a group in the people who are the disciples. Those who were committed to following him, whatever Jesus did and wherever Jesus went, even if they didn't understand it, the disciples said, we will follow you wherever you go. Now, here's the thing. Jesus is still talking to the disciples. Those, meaning the disciples now, those who are committed to saying, Jesus, whatever you want, I will do. Wherever you want me to go, I will go. And so what that means is that God says, I want some people who just won't try to get salvation just for what they gonna get out of it. But I want to look for some people, and I want to speak to some people who really say, hey, I will trust you all the way. So he says to Jesus says to his disciples, look, he says, if any man, that means person, if any person will come after me, that means to follow me, let him what? Let him what? Deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Deny himself and take up his cross. That's, you can't take up anybody else's cross. Hello. The kingdom is about self-denial. Hello. Now, sometimes we think that self-denial is we deny ourselves so that other people don't have to deny themselves. You don't know what I'm talking about. See, I got real quiet right there. Sometimes in our efforts to see other people made better, or they need to be on the right track, they not doing what they need to do to deny themselves, so now you try to deny yourself more than they will. Hello. Oh, y'all still don't know what I'm talking about. All right. You see that somebody's life is not going right and that they making the wrong decision. So now you want to now do without for yourself and not do what you need to do for God, because you want to make sure that they're on the right track and that nothing happens to them bad. But here's the key, that God does not bless somebody else because you have overly denied yourself. Hello. The word says that let a man deny himself. So sometimes, like Uzzah, let's go back into the Old Testament. David didn't do the right thing. Hello? He wasn't doing the right thing. He brought up the ark the wrong way. David was in the wrong. When the situation happened that because David was bringing up the ark the wrong way, now the ark started to fall, it was a bad situation. So what happened? Uzzah tried to compensate himself for somebody else's wrong. He actually sacrificed himself for David, and David was the one who was wrong. So that is the sense of you can't deny yourself, overly deny yourself, trying to get somebody else right. All right, that'll sink in later. That'll sink in later. That's what I'm saying is, sometimes you can love some folks and you trying to help them get into the kingdom and they ain't doing nothing for themselves, and all you doing is cutting off your own blessings. Yeah, I'm back on this. That'll sink in later. That'll sink in later. Sometimes you got to let folks hit their own head on their own stones, because it's enough trying to deny ourselves. Hello? It's enough trying to carry our own crosses without trying to carry our cross and they cross too while they skipping on down the road. Hello? Ease on down the road. Hello? Trying to get to Oz. Look, the way of the kingdom of heaven is about self-denial. That means there's some stuff in our lives that we know is not God's will for us, but it still has an attraction to us. So then he tells us that if you're going to go and follow Christ, there's some things that you need to understand you will have to give up, even though you still may want to hold on to it. And so the way of the kingdom of heaven says self-denial, but the way of the kingdom of men is selfish and self-centered. Meaning the way of the kingdom of men says, get all you can all you get. Hello. Hold on to everything and then keep on trying to get some more. Trying to shove as much as you can in that can. Hello. And so the way of the kingdom of men, thank you. The way of the kingdom of men is always about trying to get more, trying to go up, trying to make a name for yourself, trying to get this, trying to be on the top, trying. Hello. Whereas the kingdom of God is, it's already done. Look at that. The way of the kingdom of men is try to keep on getting more. The way of God and the way of the kingdom of heaven is it's already been given. Remember, Ephesians tells us at the very first chapter, he says, let me tell you what you've already received in Christ. So he told them all the precious promises that God has already done for them at the very beginning of Ephesians. And then he then tells them, now that you understand what you have, now start walking in what you already have. So then it's fruitless and it's pointless and it's destructive that if God has already given you everything that pertains to life and godliness for you to then keep on running after something more. But that's the kingdom of the world. That's the kingdom of men. The kingdom of heaven says if you deny yourself from running after trying to get just what you want that's going to gratify your flesh, once you get those distractions out the way, then you can see what God has already given to you, and you'll find out that that is where your life really is. Look, talking about the kingdom. We're talking about the kingdom. The beginning. Let's look about the kingdom of men versus the kingdom of God. Look at what it says in Genesis chapter 3. Going back to Genesis, because this kingdom didn't just start when Jesus got here, but it became known. Jesus started to let us know what was already hidden. It's always been here. Look, Genesis chapter 3, verse 6 through 7. And it says, and when the woman saw that the tree, this is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the tree that God told them not to eat of, right? The tree that they weren't supposed to touch, not touch, they weren't supposed to eat of that tree. And it says, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, look at this, and a tree to be what? Desired to make one wise. Ooh, hold on. How you gonna desire something that God said don't eat? There's the problem. How are you gonna now desire to have something that God said don't? See? She took the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with, what does that say? With her. And gave unto her husband with her. He was standing right alongside of her. He wasn't somewhere off. Right? Like, I know I've heard some preachers and some people talk about, well, where was Adam while Eve was talking to this serpent? There it is. That's where he was. He was with her. He wasn't off running somewhere at a basketball game. He wasn't at no picnic somewhere. He wasn't talking to no elephants and naming. No. He was with her. And look, and he did eat. So that meant, watch this. If he ate and she ate, it actually points right back up to this. And a tree to be desired to make one wise. They both were desiring this tree. Now watch, because we're talking about the kingdom. We need to understand what is the main principle behind the kingdom of men. Here's the main principle. God said there's some stuff that I want to show you what's right and what's wrong. There's some stuff that I want you to stay away from. But the problem is you are desiring what I want you to give up, to let alone. Look, he says he ate And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now, watch this. Watch this. Kingdom of men. The first problem in this is God told them not to eat of the tree. But now their desire to eat it and that it would make them wise. Here's the thing. If God is telling you everything you need to know, why are you desiring more wisdom? Here's one of those theological terms. If God is omniscient, if you don't know what that word means, that's a big $50 word that means all knowing. If God is omniscient, knows all things, and you are in connection with him, and he is telling you everything you need to know, why do you need to know something that God ain't telling you? That's what it says. They had a desire to eat of this tree that God told them not to eat of, because they thought they were going to get some knowledge and some wisdom that God was withholding on them. That's what they thought. So there's the first problem. The second problem is now that they messed up and they saw that they were naked, uncovered, they didn't have the glory of God on them. They were out of line with God. Now watch this. They found out they were wrong, but instead of trying to find the right way of doing it, watch this. Here's the next feature with the kingdom of men. The first feature is, I want to do it on my own. I have some desires, and I want to fulfill my own desires apart from God. The next part is, I messed up, but now I'm going to straighten it out myself. If you mess up with God, how you going to fix it yourself? That's the big key. I want to do my own thing. These are the main principles of the kingdom of man. I want to do my own thing, and when it messes up, now I want to straighten it out my own self, rather than to go back to God. And so what did they do? It says they found out that they were naked. Now they didn't have the glory of God covering them up anymore. Now they sewed fig leaves together and made aprons. And they made aprons. Don't we do that? We mess up, and then we try to figure something else that's not really going to last to try to cover up for what we messed up last time. Until that breaks down, then we try to find something else to cover up with. Hello. Look, the tree. Well, we talked about this. Look, man determined that they wanted to choose for themselves how they saw the world and their own goals. Adam, in the eating of that one fruit, it represented man choosing to go his own way. I don't want to do what God wants me to do. I really don't want the goal that God wants me to do, because here's the goal. Here's the goal. God wanted everything to be under the control of man, but for the glory of God. Let me say that again. God wanted everything to be under the control of mankind, but that mankind would rule everything so that God would get the glory. Now watch this. The eating of the tree basically meant man was saying, you know what? I still want to rule everything, but I want the credit. That's basically the problem. That's the problem right now, is that God says, I want man to rule everything, but rule it to the place where I get the glory. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, let your good works be seen of men, that they may glorify God. So not that you're doing good works so that people can pat you on the back, but you ought to do it with the intent that God would get the glory, so that when they say, man, you did a great job, you know, God, to God be the glory, you know, because I ain't smart enough to be able to do this. I ain't had the talent to be able, you know, if God hadn't woke me up this morning, I wouldn't have been able to do nothing. Because it's some folks that's woke and don't even know they woke. Hello. Some people that wish they could move around and can't move around. Hello. So that everything we do, we ought to give God the glory through Jesus Christ. But now here's the key. The kingdom of man says, I want to rule everything, but I want to get the credit. This is why Jesus had to talk about the Pharisees. It's the same principle. He says, remember, they want to look holy. They want to stand on the street corners. They want to pray. They want to do all this stuff so that they can be what? Seen of men. And then he says, once they've been seen of men, after they said, oh, that looks so good. That looks so holy. Then he says, they have already received what? Their reward. Why? Because all they wanted was people to see them. So once they got seen, that was it. They weren't even looking for nothing from God. They weren't trying to give nothing to God, and they weren't looking for God to do nothing. And so the kingdom of the world only wants things for itself to glorify itself. Look, God's outlook was no longer good enough for them. Whatever God says, the mindset of the world is God's opinion really don't matter. Now, that's wild. The mindset of the kingdom of the world is God's, whatever God thinks don't matter, because it's all about me. See, Adam and Eve, they were curious about choosing for themselves. They wanted to know what it would be like not to have to obey God. Remember, what did it say? It says that they desired the tree because they thought it could make them wise. So they really were curious about, what if I really didn't have to follow God? What if I could do, what if I had no limitations? I know he told me not to eat this one tree. Remember, he only gave him one prohibition. There was only one law. We got so many, because of the law of God, we got so many things in the Bible that said don't do, don't do. They had it easy. All they had was one law. All they had was one law, and they couldn't keep that. How can we think we're going to keep the law apart from Jesus, huh? They had one law, and they couldn't keep that. Look, they were curious about choosing for themselves. Look, and what happened? That one act of disobedience sent all of mankind into rebellion. We in rebellion to this day as a human race of people. Human race. Because everybody got the same problem. Whatever the skin color is, whatever the racial descent is, it don't matter. We all got the same problem. Rebellion against God. There's something in us that really don't want to do what God says. I don't care how saved you are. It's still something there that wants to do something contrary. And so, look at this. The real life is here. The world says life is in getting all you can get. The more you can get, the more stuff that you desire. And if you can get it, that's what'll make you happy. That's what the world says. Because remember, the world's mentality and the idea of the world is that it's all about self. But God says real life is in this. For whosoever, verse 25, Matthew chapter 16, verse 25, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. This isn't talking about necessarily physically dying. He's not necessarily talking about physical dying. He's talking about saving your life, or what you think your life is supposed to be about. What you desire for your life to be. Not what you know God wants you to be and everything, but the principle in our being that says, hey, you know what? I want to do this because, you know, what God wants me to do, he wants me to deny myself. He wants me to, you know, he wants me to do some stuff that really I want to do this at that same time. I really don't really want to do what God, you know, I really on this 90 some degree day, I really, really like to be out at the beach. I really wouldn't like to be in church right now, you know, with just a fan. Yeah, I really kind of like to be in the water, you know, that the flesh says that, but then the spirit says something else. Hello. You know, and so he says those that will save their life, those that are determined to do their own thing, their own way. Those are the ones who are trying to save their life, what they want to do. Those that will save their life will lose it, meaning that ultimately, after you try to please yourself, God will ultimately kick all that stuff out from underneath you. That's what he's talking. But he says those who will lose their life say, Lord, I know I want to do some things, but I will deny myself so that you can take control of my life and you lead me and guide me where I need to go. He says, then those are the people who will really find their real life, and they'll really find out that they are more content doing the will of God, because it's some stuff that I found out, and I speak from experience. There's some stuff that God says do that when I know I need to do it, I really don't want to do it. But here's the key. When I do it, the moment I do it, I feel a sense of satisfaction and fulfillment that I couldn't feel if I did my own thing. Hello? If I did my own thing. So then God is saying, hey, when you sacrifice and you don't do your own thing, there is a certain sense of godly fulfillment in doing the will of God that you can never get from just living life your own way. I don't care how much you do whatever you want to do and have so much fun doing it, you can never receive the fulfillment in doing your own thing that you can in doing the things of God and what God wants you to do. Now, I'm not talking about just doing church stuff, but doing what God has called you to do. Hello. So that means more than just church stuff. Hello. That means more than church stuff. Sometimes that means not taking that 34-minute lunch when you're supposed to take a 30-minute lunch. Hello. You know, because we need to serve God at all times and in all conditions. And so doing those things is more than just what looks like church or kingdom. Hello. But look at this. You know, everybody who's stuck in their own way of thinking will lose everything. You're going to lose everything. I don't care how much people go higher and higher and the world keeps look like they prospering them. Eventually, they're going to fall. Because this isn't in the Bible, but it's real biblical. You know that saying that says, the bigger they are. Hello. That, you know, pride comes before a fall. So the more you build yourself up, the more you let the world build you up, the more you think you're getting all the stuff that you want, the harder the fall is when God sweeps your feet from underneath you. And so that's what he's saying. He said those that will try to keep building on their life, their own kingdom, and not work towards my kingdom, they're going to lose it all. But look, he says, but look, for my sake, those that will lose their life for my sake. Some people are under the impression that to do religious stuff, just to do religious stuff, and just to sacrifice certain physical stuff, that in and of itself will get them blessing. Like, as if they want to try to make God feel bad. God, see how much I'm suffering for you? See how much I'm suffering for you, God? And God hasn't told him to give up all that stuff. Probably God has really told him, stop acting foolish. But they, see how much I'm sacrificing for you? Look, thinking to try to bribe God with whatever they do. But he says, those that will lose their life and get into self-denial for his sake or for the king of the kingdom. Now, what does that mean? For his sake. To doing something so that Christ can actually function and be recognized as king. He is king, but here's the problem. Everybody don't recognize him as king. He is in control. It's just some folks just want to act like they in control. They don't want to recognize that God is ultimately in control. But now everything that we should do should point to the fact that we are saying Christ is in control, not just of my life. That's firstly where I'm saying it, but it's really saying I'm letting God be in control of my life, and everything that's under my control will now be under the control of Christ. Let me say that again. For his sake, the King of the Kingdom. First, God is control of my life. Okay? Now, everything that he has put under my control and under my influence, then I now am saying I'm going to deny myself, so that God isn't just controlling me, but now everything that I'm in control of, I will now put it under the control of Christ. What? I need to put that up as a note. I couldn't, because that just came to me now. Yeah. Yeah. That's why I'm saying, I'll say it again so you can write it down, because I didn't have it in his notes. You need to, doing something for my sake, meaning for Christ's sake, means not only will God have control of me, but everything that's under me, everything that's under my control. As Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So everything I have authority over then automatically comes under the lordship of Jesus, because he's not just controlling me. And I'm just saying, well, everybody else is, you know, that's following after me, y'all, I'm just going to let y'all do whatever y'all want to do, but God is in control of my life. No. Remember, he wanted Adam to be in control of everything so that the whole earth could be under the control of God. So then every time he gets a believer who will submit themselves to God, then he wants everything that that believer is in authority over, then to bring everything under them under the lordship of Christ. Hello, somebody. You shouldn't be a believer. You shouldn't be a believer. Now this is, I'm dealing with mindsets now. You should not be a believer that says, I'm going to submit to Christ, but now everything that you legitimately have authority over, you let it run wild. Hello. Now that don't mean you can't control people, but what I'm saying is you should not sit back and let stuff go on. You can't make somebody do something, but if you just sitting there and you ain't saying nothing, if you on your job, you have employees underneath you, you should try to run your section like God would have you. That don't mean you got to make everyone a Christian that's underneath you, but if they doing something contrary to the will, the authority that you have, you ought to then use that authority to say, hey, we're not going to let this go on. I ain't trying to make you a Christian or not, but if you under me, I'm going to do things God's way. And so that means that I'm going to use that influence to bring everything at least as much as possible under the authority of Christ. Hello. That wasn't in the notes. That was kind of free there. That's fresh off the grill, you know. Hello. Look. What is the result? What is the result? How has the world been made better by the world's kingdoms going forward? How has it become better? Everybody talking about, oh, we're in a new generation. Oh, we got technology. Things are going to be better. How has things been made better now than what people used to say, you know, back in the good old days, you know, when you could leave your doors unlocked, you know, and you knew everybody in the community, and you could go to your neighbor and get sugar and everything else. Your neighbor probably breaking in your house, stealing your sugar. Hello. Hello. How's the kingdoms of this world become better now that we got most stuff to make things better, technology and everything else, cars, everybody got cars. People don't have to walk nowhere no more. Everybody got cars. Even folks without licenses got cars. Hello. But how has things gotten better? Look, at this. Let's see the result of man being out of order, out of God's order. Genesis 3 God declares that the ground would be cursed because of Adam's actions. He says, cursed be the ground for your sake. Why? Because it was under your authority. So now you get out of line, everything underneath you gets out of line. You get in right alignment, everything under you starts to have a sense of grace that it can start coming in order if everything underneath you would act right. Hello? There's a certain grace. But look, he says, curses the ground because you are in charge and you let things fall apart. You get out of line with me. So I make everything. Wow. Ooh, I'm about to say something. Watch. Here's another one. God says, I'm going to do you just like you did me. You refuse to be under submission to me. So now, because you out of order with me, I'm going to make everything under you rebellious against you, just like you rebellious against me. Look. What happened? As long as Adam was in right relationship with God, everything flowed fine with Adam, right? Everything flowed fine with Adam's land. The moment that Adam said, I'm going to make my own choice, God says, now I'm going to let the land make its own choice underneath you. You're going to plant something that you're going to try to get its strength, but he says the land won't even give its full strength to you now. You're going to sweat, and you are not going to see the benefits of all your sweat when it comes up. Why? Because I'm putting more sweat into you, giving you breath and everything else, and now you're rebellious. You're not doing what I want you to do. I'm going to let everything under you not do what you wanted to do. That you plant, that you gonna harvest. Hello. That's a basic principle. So look at this. God says he declared that the ground would be cursed because of Adam's choices and his actions. But now watch this. Ever since then until now, Paul lets us know, I think it's over in Romans, he says that all of creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, waiting for those who have submitted themselves to God's leading. Not those that just want to receive a blessing, not just those that just want to go to heaven, but those that are living now, waiting to go to heaven, but living now, trusting in Christ and following the Holy Spirit and what God wants us to do. All of creation is waiting for all of those who are trusting Christ to be made manifest. That means come out into the open. The final conquering by the children of God. Now, this part here, creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. That's referring to when Christ comes back and brings all of the saints through all of the ages. We're going to deal with that in another message. About how God intends to bring all of creation, everything, back into his proper order. Because that's ultimately what we're getting to. And so the conquering, it cannot take place until Christ returns. So we're preaching the kingdom, but we must understand the kingdom because we remember our context and our text that we're coming from is Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 through 26. And so it's the denial of self that is the hallmark or the key to us walking in the kingdom. But now watch this. We're preaching two aspects to the kingdom. To the kingdom of heaven. We're preaching the aspect of now, the kingdom that we're in now, the kingdom of light, where we have allowed ourselves to come under the obedience of Christ. Even though everything around us is still being disobedient, we are preaching that it is possible now to accept the Lord Jesus and now come into obedience while everything else is still in disobedience. So now God wants to show how he can bless people and show that we can walk as light in the midst of darkness. That's one aspect of the kingdom. The next aspect of the kingdom is that while we're walking in obedience, we are now supposed to also tell everybody about the kingdom to come. We are in the kingdom now, but there is a kingdom to come, meaning the time when God will put down all rebellion and everything will be under his obedience. Wow. Now, I needed to say that because the fight is between man trying to bring his own kingdom to fruition and God trying to bring his kingdom. It's really no fight, because God can just say one thing and it'll be all over. It's really no fight. It's just man just don't realize it's no fight. That's just like a little baby mad because you took away their toy and they swinging at you. You 6'5", 5'5", something, and they swinging at you because they mad because you took, as if they can beat you. They don't know it's no fight. They just see they mad. They really just don't know it's no fight. And so here's the thing. We're preaching the kingdom of you need to come out of darkness into light. Into this kingdom that is now. But this kingdom that is now is not all that there is. We need to also preach there is a kingdom to come. Remember? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What? Thy what? What? Total obedience. So we got to preach two aspects of the kingdom. Sometimes we only preach the kingdom message of come to Christ so that you can go to heaven. Well, that's part of the message. But the other part of it is that Christ is coming back and he will at that time bring all things under his obedience. Even as the Apostle Paul said, there will be a time when every knee shall bow and every what? Tongue will confess that Jesus is what? Lord means I'm in control to the glory of the Father. And so now, some will bow willingly, some will bow unwillingly. The problem with those who will bow unwillingly is that when they bow unwillingly, they get no reward just for bowing. Those who will have to bow will bow and find themselves after they bow and lift up their heads. If the word of God said they will lift up their heads in hell. Hello. So everybody's going to bow, but everybody isn't going to lift up their heads seeing the same thing. So then we preach the message of there is a kingdom now, but there is a kingdom to come. The only way to reach the kingdom to come and live in the kingdom to come is to live in the kingdom now. That's the gospel message. And so when we look at this, we need to see the world's problem. I'm almost through. Look, the world's problem. Because of spiritual ignorance. And now this spiritual ignorance is really a willing ignorance. You know, there's one ignorance where you just haven't been introduced to something. Nobody told you something. So you don't know it if you never heard it, right? My father used to always say, what you don't know will make a whole new world. There's a whole lot of stuff you haven't heard of. But we're not talking about that type of ignorance. We're talking about spiritual ignorance where people see what God is trying to say, but because they don't want to hear it, they then say, well, I ain't got time for that. I ain't listening to that. I don't believe it. They turn a deaf ear. Yes. Look. But because of spiritual ignorance due to what? Self-centered desires. Spiritual ignorance due to self-centered desires. You must realize, let me say this. Even when you save, you must realize it is real difficult to obey God. It's not difficult because you got to do it yourself, because we have the Holy Spirit. But it's difficult because God will always at some point in time in your life start telling you something that conflicts with your desires. Something you want to do. Something you had a plan for your life. Something you saw. I saw this in a vision when I was 5 years old. And you've been working your life towards it. And then all of a sudden God comes and say, nope, left turn. What? What do you mean? What are you talking about? The devil is a lie. Nope, it ain't the devil. Hello. It ain't the devil. But see, the world is in spiritual ignorance because God is saying something that they're not desiring. And so, I got to have what I got to have. So, God, you know what? I got to get back with you later because I want this. And God said, nope, don't touch it. Don't touch that tree. Don't eat that tree. But I desire it because I'm going to get something out of it. God said, nope. Don't do it. Don't do it. Look, Genesis. Man seeks his own kingdom. What does kingdom? We talked about that before, but I need to keep it in your mind. What does kingdom mean? Basically, kingdom means the king's domain. The king's domain, or the rule, or the area, or the scope of where the king is ruling. So now here's the thing. There is always a kingdom, but who is the one that people think is in charge? Now, God ultimately is in charge of everything. But the problem is, the world's problem is, it's about man being in control of their own destiny. I want to be in control of my own domain. I want to make my own kingdom. I want to expand my own kingdom. I want to expand things based upon my desires. Look, and they said, look at Genesis 11, because we're seeing this about the kingdom. Genesis 11, 4 says, and they said, this is the Tower of Babel, just in case you didn't know. The Tower of Babel. See, God has been showing us elements of the kingdom and all different aspects of what the kingdom is in totality, and the kingdom of men as opposed to the kingdom of God, the city of men as opposed to the city of God. And so we see this was going on even back then. And they said, what? They said, the people said, go to, let us build us a city, a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. Let us, look, watch these words. And they said, right? Go to let what? Let us build what? Us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, right? What's this next line? And let us make. Oh, hold on. There's a whole lot of this thing is all about us's. I don't see God nowhere in this. Let us. We're going to make us. We're going to do this. They didn't ask God to do nothing, and they ain't giving God nothing. God, you ain't had nothing to do with this, so you get nothing. Hello. We paying ourselves because we paid all the dues. That's the mindset. He said, let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Now, let me quickly break this down to show you this is the mindset of the world system. This is the mindset of the world system. God told them right before this, I want you, after Noah came out the ark, he said, I want you to go. And the mandate for mankind was be fruitful, multiply, and spread out and fill the earth. That's what God told them to do. They knew this is what God wanted them to do, to become populated and now cover the earth. What? Because God wanted them to have rulership of the earth so that they could then have the earth be under God. But now watch. Let us go and let us build us a city and a tower. Already that makes no sense, because if God says spread out, why are you trying to congregate in one place? So already they saying, God, we don't want to do what you want to do. We don't like your program. We got our own thing. So now they don't want to do what God wants them to do. They want to build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. Now, I don't want to do what you want me to do, but I do want to receive the rewards. Y'all missed that one. I know that you said if I'm obedient, there's some rewards for me. But here's the key. I really don't want what you want me to do, but I still want the rewards. I still want you to give me what you said you had for me, but I won't do none of the stuff you want. Now that's interesting, because that's the mindset of a lot of people nowadays. You hired me to do this job. I really don't want to do the job, but I still want to get paid. And now I get mad if you dock my check. What do you mean? Yeah, I took that extra time. Yeah, I took that extra time. I didn't come to work yet, but what's wrong with you? I need my money. What money? You didn't work. Hello. You know, and then this idea now, you don't, you know, you go to school, kids now, you go to school, they don't do nothing in school, but they still want all the good clothes and all the stuff. And, you know, my mother used to always say, and I pass it down to my kids because I realize now that I'm older, now it makes sense. She said, we don't reward bad behavior. Oh, yeah, I'm lost, y'all. No. All right. But see, that's the mindset of the world. It says we don't want to do the right thing, but we want all the benefits. He said, look, we want to still reach heaven, but we don't want to do God's will. We want to do it ourselves. We want to get to heaven on our own. But then he says, now let us make us a name. I know this is the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, but we're going to stamp man's name on it and take God's name off. We're going to say in God we trust, but we're going to take the Ten Commandments out the courtrooms. Hello. We're going to say we're going to be the top in technology and knowledge and education, but we're going to take prayer out of schools. Hello. We're going to take God out of everything, but we're going to make ourselves a name. So we won't be scattered abroad the face of the earth, which is just what God said he wanted us to do. Look, let us make a name for ourselves. And that's the way of the world. Trying to make a name for ourselves. Trying to make a name for ourselves. That means our kingdom. I want to raise my family. This is the mindset of the world. I want to raise my family so my family can be on the top. Not because they saw in the word that God said that he wanted godly seed upon the earth. That every family is to be its own church in a sense, where God gets the glory out of every family. And so let us make a name for ourselves. Selfish ambition. Seeking what we prefer rather than what God desires. I gotta hurry on with this. Look at this. Momentary success is not real success. Remember? Overseer talked about that. Momentary success, what you think looks right because you want to do it your way, it's not always real success. Look, God will let us build things. Now here's the real thing. God will let us build things for a long time. Let it look real prosperous, and then put the brakes on it. Hello? When we're doing our own thing, he will try to tell us, no, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. I don't want you to go that way. And we'll go on and do it. And then we'll start hearing God's voice kind of fade off into the background. Because what? It looks like it's successful. And if it looked like it's successful, then we keep on doing it. But look, what happens is, God lets us build things long enough to expose our hearts. We say one thing, but then when God gives us the opportunity to do something else and we end up keep on doing it and it looks like it's successful, really God is exposing our hearts to the real true fact that we really didn't want to do what he wanted us to do in the first place. Hello. We were just talking. Hello. We're talking good talk, but God says, okay. Yeah. God, we gonna scatter upon the face of the earth. Hey, there's some good bricks here. We can make something out of this. All right. I'm going to show you that you really didn't want to follow me in the first place. Look, eventually God will stop everything that's not a part of his kingdom. Now, here's where it comes where we as believers need to understand that you need to know the kingdom so that you won't be discouraged, thrown off because of what you see. Because when you really serve the Lord, you will have times in your life where it looks like your obedience to God and doing things the right way don't pay off. Hello. It will come a time at some point where you will start getting discouraged because you see everybody that look like they just doing things that they know ain't God. And it seems like they getting ahead more than you and they getting ahead for years. Hello. I'm not talking about they getting away for 2-3 months and all. No, I'm talking about some stuff you look and say, hold on. They ain't doing. Hey, they getting away with this. Come on. Let's use some examples from recent history. Come on. How long was that Madoff guy stealing money from folks? $60 million? I think it was $60 million. He was stealing from folks. This was over a, 30-40 year period? Hello. Sometimes you'll wonder, Lord, how long? Hello. How long would a wicked prosper? How long will they don't have no restraint to what they do? And that's what it said in Psalm 73. Habakkuk 2. How long, Lord? How long you gonna let me behold wickedness? In vain I've cleansed my hands from wickedness. Lord, how long? How long? But now watch this. God will eventually bring a stop to everything that's not part of his kingdom. Now that's part of the gospel also that you need to tell folks. Say, I know you may not want to trust God now because everything's fine in your life and everything, but there's a stop to everything that's not giving God the glory. And so here's the key. Here's the key, because that's what the whole message about, the key, the main principle to God's plan. It's really a rescue mission. It's a rescue mission. I got to hurry on. I only got 15 minutes. It's a rescue mission. God's ultimate plan. Watch this. This is why it seems to take so long for God to do some things. It's a rescue mission, but God's ultimate plan is the systematic. Everybody say systematic. That means there is an order to things. This can only happen when this gets in place. Hello. This can only happen when this is in place. It's a systematic recovery of all of God's creation. Wow. Now, here's the good part for us. We who are saved are the key component to God's rescue operation. Let me say that again. We who are saved and have submitted to the Lordship and the obedience to the Holy Spirit, we are the key component to God's recovery plan of the entire creation. You got to write it down. You got to catch this stuff when it's fresh. I have 15 million slides if I was to put everything. Let me say it one more time. Third time for the Holy Spirit. We who are saved and have submitted ourselves to the Lordship of Christ and the leading of the Holy Spirit, we are the key component to God's rescue mission to recover the entire creation. Because what was the recovery? God wanted us to get back to what he intended for Adam. God wanted Adam to be in control of all of creation and have all of creation under the authority of God. So now he has us who not only have the law of God in our minds, but he said he'll write upon our hearts and upon our mind, not just on a tablet. Hello. He said, I will write my law upon their hearts and upon their minds so that they will follow me from their spirit. They that worship me will worship me in spirit and in truth. It would be an internal moving based upon his external law. Look, it has to start with mankind. It has to start with mankind. When man is in line, all other things will fall in place. Seek ye first. What? The kingdom of heaven and all these things, what will be added after man gets in order with God, everything else will fall in line. Mankind has been trying to produce a heavenly kingdom by ourselves. Wow. 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 Ooh, I got to run quick because I know I only got about 10 minutes now. Look at this. The whole idea, it sounds like a good idea. It sounds like a good idea, but you must understand it's still the mindset of the world. Watch this. The mindset about everything going green and we got to recover the earth is not a bad thing. We do need to modify what we do and pollution. We do need to do that. But you need to understand the mindset behind it, not just the idea of it, but the mindset behind it is we're going to make a perfect world by ourselves without Christ coming back. I'm not saying that we shouldn't do it. I'm saying you need to understand the mindset behind it. The mindset behind political correctness and tolerance and everything else, and we need to get along, is man's attempt to try to create peace without the one who is the Prince of Peace. Hello? It is right. Yes, we do need to treat people with respect, but we need to understand that we need to preach the gospel also. See, the world's way is peace means don't say anything that disturbs me. So you better not say nothing about Christ because that's going to disturb a majority of folks. Hello? So what's going on now is man trying to produce a heavenly kingdom by themselves. It's just like going back to the Tower of Babel. We're going to get to heaven by our own means to make a name for ourselves. Look, the kingdom to come is it. Revelation chapter 11 and 15. And the seventh angel sounded and there was great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. You must understand that democracy or the idea of a democratic government is not the answer to every situation. Hello. But that's the idea. If we can just get democracy over there with those Muslims, we'll get everything happen. You're still trying to create a kingdom of men on the earth opposed to the kingdom of God. The mindset. We're talking about the mindset now. And so God says the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of the Lord and his Christ. That means God will reign forever and ever. And so all kingdoms and people will willingly obey God, will willingly obey God. Look, he will have judged all those that resist him. So it's not about everybody at some point in time is not going to change their mind. No. No. God will do a purging program. Everyone who is not like him, he will purge out. The only ones that will remain will be those who have willingly submitted to him while they still had life in their body. Amen. Last thing. This is the foretaste of glory. This is the foretaste of glory. This is the foretaste of glory. I know it may not seem like it, because even as believers, we have to face certain trials and tribulations, certain things in this life that are troublesome to us, that they trouble us, and we have to face certain things that it seems like even unsaved folks don't have to face. But it is still a foretaste of glory. Watch this. As we are obedient to the Lord through the Holy Spirit, we get to experience what the eternal kingdom is like. The world don't know what it's like to pray and know that God hears them. They pray when it's real tough and hope for the best. Hello. The world is like, God, if you out there with their eyes clenched tight. Hello. But we have the assurance that when we pray, he hears us. The God of all creation hears us. So we have a foretaste of glory and the eternal kingdom. Look, we must be born again of the Spirit of God. Look, Romans chapter 8 and verse 14 says that when we are led by the Spirit, that qualifies us as sons of God. Not just you coming and saying, Lord, come into my life. No, the scripture says those that are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. They are the inheritors of the kingdom of God. Because what? The kingdom is identified by obedience to the Spirit. So those that follow the Spirit, they are the sons of God and the heirs of the kingdom. The next thing is 2 Peter 1 and 4. These are just foretaste of glory, that we're already sons of God. We're already in the kingdom if we're submitted to him. Chapter 1, verse 4 of 2 Peter says that by these promises, we are partakers of his divine nature. Not just we got to do good stuff, not just God has given us some laws that we need to follow so we can be good people, but he said we have a foretaste of glory because we have now become a partaker of the very life of God, the King of the kingdom. Now we have his nature in us. This is all so we can show the world who Jesus is, the King of the kingdom. This is all so we can show who the King of the kingdom is. And so we need to understand that we have the key position in allowing God to rule through us in the earth. That's a blessing. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. That's a blessing to understand that it doesn't matter what the kingdoms of this world do, what people say, how people resist, that God has given us, who look like the weakest among folks, and everybody seem like they want to try to take advantage of us, because we know the Christians, they ain't going to fight back. So if I hit them, they ain't going to hit me on the other cheek. Well, some of us ain't as saved as other folks, but nevertheless, that's what they think. Hello. And so we need to understand that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. That we are more than conquerors, what? Through him that loved us. That these are the things that we need to keep in mind and keep focus on, that God has already given us all that we need that pertains to life and godliness. So then we don't have to keep on trying to struggle for ourselves, trying to gain what the world says success is. Because Peter also said that why are you trying to look for all these things? And John also said it, when these things are ultimately passing away. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Why? Because if his soul is bound up in all these worldly things, soon as the world passes away, the soul will pass away too, because it's caught up with things that won't even last. But seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And everything that you do for the Lord, God says, and their works do follow them, and God will reward everything that's according to his kingdom through Jesus Christ. Come on, let's give him the praise. Yeah.